One more reminder. I say this from time to time, but let me say it right now. Odyssey app is like the way to listen to the station and the
100%.
Show. Like it is shower. If you don't have like a radio in your bathroom, you listen to the Odyssey app on your phone in the shower. Don't bring the phone into the shower. Have it right outside the shower.
Yeah, a little speaker, a little Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The car. I mean, here's my point. All these interviews we do, not only to listen live, you can go back and listen to them. Jason Kelce with us for an hour yesterday, Ron Jaworski this week, Seth Joyner from this week, Nick Sirianni from this week, Brandon Graham from this week, Mike Quick. I mean, these are our weekly guests on the show, that and more, plus Ross and Sheil and Elliot and Howard. So any of these interviews, you can always go back and listen to them and know that it's all stored in the Odyssey app and it's all there for you to consume anytime you want. 215-592-9494 as we broadcast today from Borgata, away from the Tasty Cake Studio. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Let's talk to Zach in Medford as we get ready for the Eagles and the Bucks. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Doing great, Zach.
Just want to give a quick shout-out to Seltzer. Whenever I call in, he's super bright and positive and happy, and it's a nice way to come into the call. So I just wanted to give a shout-out.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go.
So, wanted to make a quick Eagles point. I know we're obviously all eyes on Jalen Hurts and his performance. I would like to kind of highlight a sort of sleeper thing to look out for and have a question. I think this is a big prove-it game for the depth of wide receiver.
Sure.
Obviously, we don't have Brown and Smith, so it's time for your wide receiver 3, 4, 7. To kind of answer the call. And quick question, I don't know if you guys know, and I'll get off the phone here. Do you know how involved Kellen Moore was in picking, the Johnny Wilson?
Don't know.
No idea.
Okay. Yeah,
can assume he was somewhat aware of the guys who were coming out. These coaches, they stay up on the college game to some degree, but they're not following it. The way that a major college fan would.
Yeah,
they normally meet
these
guys when they arrive in town and then work with them.
I mean, and Zach, I would guess that Sirianni still has a big hand in that as well, coming from a wide receiver background, as a wide receiver coach coming through the ranks.
That's a really interesting point,
and
too.
A receiver in
I
college.
I wonder if he has more weight because of that
I
in
would
the
think
wide
so.
Receiver recruiting. Or
I would hope so. Let's put it that way. So that's a Howie Sirianni, Kellen Moore thing. How that pie is split up, I don't know.
Yeah, I was unsure because I know Vic Fangio had a heavy hand in who was picked and what was kind of decided on the defensive side. I wasn't sure if Kellen kind of had any sort of sway or influence on who was picked because we assume that he has a heavier hand in the offense than Sirianni does. And
well, from what we gather, it's all collaborative, beyond what we even suspected in terms of play calling.
Yeah.
So I would guess that they're going in with scouts and talking about certain guys. We learned last or 2 years ago that Jason Kelce, our center, was collaborating
with
the scouts on a new center.
That's true.
You know, this really is sort of surprising, and they're taking it to a more collaborative level. And so I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but it's probably working. I do think connecting and working in different capacities probably draws you closer.
Zach, let me tell you something that was really cool. There was some audio that emerged yesterday of a story from Paris Campbell. I want to give props to Sirianni for something because, he gets ridiculed on a lot of fronts around here. But Paris Campbell told a story yesterday about when he got cut by the Eagles at the end of training camp. His mindset was, I'm done with the Eagles. Like, I want to go land somewhere else. But if I don't, I'm not going back to the Eagles. It's not even a consideration to be on the practice squad. And so he was gone. He left. He was home. He said he was talking with his wife. And he said that Sirianni reached out to him with a phone call and talked to him. And in a relatively short period of time, convinced him to come back and join the Eagles practice squad, which obviously has benefited Paris Campbell's career. He's already, I think, played in one game, and he's about to play in a bunch.
Had a catch last game.
Yeah, with receivers out. So, that's one of those things, like, sometimes we snicker at the connectivity thing from Sirianni and all that, but that's a form of leadership. You reach out to a player who's not on your team, you're trying to convince him to be on your team, And you just reach them on a human level also, and that's good. That's good leadership.
And it's hard when you cut somebody to, like, convince them to, you know, I mean, that there's hurt feelings.
That's a really good job by Sirianni.
No, Zach, this is something, like, he is able to swallow his pride in a lot of ways.
Paris Campbell
very effectively. Nick Sirianni. Yeah. Like, he has perfected that part. It's not easy to go back to a guy that you've cut and say, hey, let's be friends. It's amazing that you can turn it around the way that Nick did. This is a strength that I never considered.
And Kelsey kind of told us, you know, that in a different way yesterday when he talked about that.
That
Sirianni really cares about the players. The players know he really cares about them. Real
quick, that is unique.
Zach, give me a great answer for a character from a sequel.
One last quick question, and I'll give my answer. I know Nola, from what I remember, tends to struggle after long breaks. Do you think we should pitch him first to get him past those shakes so then he can
first
pitch
in the playoffs?
Earlier?
No.
Zach
no.
Wheeler, game one. Period, end of story.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Period,
All
end
right,
of story.
So I'm dipping in the well that you guys kind of did. I'm going Lando Calrissian.
Big. Yeah, Lando's nice. A big answer.
I might pitch Aaron Nola third, but not.
No one would say other than the last caller to, you know, flip flop them.
Overthinking.
By the way, Dick Vermeil often joins us at this time. He will be back with us next week. Coach Vermeil on a vacation there for a brief period of time, but Dick Vermeil typically with us Fridays at this time. And when he is, he's brought to us by Independence Blue Cross, the region's strongest network of doctors and hospitals. Means you can choose where, when, and how you get the care you need. Learn more at IBX.com. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni. We're just referencing Sirianni. Let's also give you a chance, by the way, to win the prize. As I said, we had that prize for Pete the Hammer. And we'll take the third caller on the contest line, caller three, at 215-988-1258. Caller three, in honor of Bryce Harper, who 2 years in a row has been phenomenal in the postseason, hopefully getting ready to crank up another great postseason effort. For the prize I had referenced earlier today, 215-988-1258, third caller will win the prize. All right, let's listen to Sirianni, and then we're going to get to Jalen Hurts because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with this game, you know, coming up on Sunday. I mean, for one thing, there's the reality that it's a rematch of last year. For another thing, you're facing the Todd Bowles thing again, right? A lot of pressure, that whole deal. So Sirianni talked, you know, this week a couple different times about that, including on facing Tampa's pressure D. Here's what Sirianni said.
As you get ready to face the Bucs again, their defense, do you think your offense is in a better position?
We've worked really hard at this, obviously, for the past year, and we've done a good job so far, but you're only as good as your next game, so excited about the challenge. You know, I know Jalen's really, really played well against the Blitz these last couple games, and he's worked his butt off on it. And just excited about the challenge, but we know there's going to be challenges against a Todd Bowles coach defense. So, you know, again, we've done a nice job so far, but you're only as good as your next game.
I think the improvement on blitz pickup has been the most impressive thing this year. I mean, obviously they improved at starting running back Saquon Barkley instead of, who was it last year? Was it
DeAndre Swift?
DeAndre Swift. Yeah. And he was pretty good for a while. Then he tailed off, but you know, Saquon's in a different class. Obviously that's, you know, you think you're taking a big step up. The offensive line slash Jalen Hurts slash wide receiver. Now, listen, I still want to see the wide receivers turn around more and be ready to rock and roll. I mean, there are still times where you see plays where Jalen's under pressure and no one's looking back, and they got to get better at that. We talked about that last year. I don't think they've conquered that yet, but it's been improved upon. Jalen knows, obviously, last year was really rough in the postseason. Let's listen to Jalen this week talking about facing Tampa.
Taylor, it seems like you play Tampa like every year. It's almost like they're in the NFC East, it seems. You know, you play them so often.
Yeah.
How much does that familiarity help you going forward here today?
Well, I think it's been different. It's been different every time we've played them. Different time of the year, different moment, you know, different offense, different approach, philosophy, if you will. And so I got a ton of respect for them. Coach Todd Bowles, and when what he does, he creates a lot of great opportunities for his defense and his team, and they're a really good offense as well. So, you know, we gotta come and execute, play clean football. Gotta come and execute and play clean football.
No doubt, that's exactly what they gotta do. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Joe,
congratulations on your win. And you said it best, and I've been telling you this, why do you bother? Like, do the Barry Sanders, man, walk away while you are undisputed king.
Yeah, but I got to get to 1,000. That's the goal. Get to 1,000 and retire.
Death.
It's going to take about 20 more years.
I was going to say, that's a long time.
I will pray for early death if I have to listen to 1,000 more.
How insufferable would I be at 1,000, man?
Oh, you don't think you're insufferable now?
Great hard point. To imagine. Like,
oh, my God. Hey, you know, what? It's interesting you just played that and talking about the Buccaneers and how often we all see the Buccaneers, it seems like, these days. Because of the way the season ended last year, we tend to forget that they did play the Buccaneers in Week 4 last year in Tampa, and they physically brutalized
them. Oh, they sure did. I actually had forgotten that, and you're right. They crushed them.
And you know, that's what's going to happen this week. This game is every game, so this is kind of a redundant statement, but this game particularly is going to be won and lost at the line of scrimmage. The interior offensive line.
Unless Jalen turns it over and sinks their chances, well, which happens sometimes.
So Joe, that's the caveat every week that you don't have to say, because it's true.
But I'll also say this, Ken. There's a scenario that Jalen plays pretty good and they still lose because they're without their two receivers. I mean, that's brutal, man. I mean, you can really legitimately make a case that what the Eagles started the season with, I would say the best tandem in football, has gone from 1 to 32.
Yeah,
like John, let me ask you this. Who were their two best wide receivers this weekend?
Johnny Wilson.
And?
Jahan Dotson.
Okay, that's probably the worst in football.
Paris Campbell, I guess, might maybe
James,
put him ahead
James,
of Johnny
who are their
Wilson.
Two, James, who were their two best?
Yeah, I think Richie's probably right. I think John Dotson's their clear best. I guess. I mean, we're not talking Goddard, right? So
no,
John Dotson's probably their best, and then probably Paris Campbell, or I guess, or Johnny Wilson.
I mean,
yeah,
look,
it's the worst in football.
Have
yes.
you looked at the Buccaneers injury report also?
Oh, they've got a ton.
16 players.
This is
no
a
question.
Consideration, too.
Yeah, I agree.
I look at ours, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got 7 guys, and I am very worried about A.J. and Lane and Devontae. Possibly being out.
Yeah.
But, my gosh, 16 guys. It's an entire page for the Buccaneers. They are much more beaten up than we are.
I know.
So we, you know, take solace in that.
Ken, go ahead, buddy.
The interior of that Bucs offensive line is terrible. And Jalen Carter is going to destroy that right guard.
If he brings it again, he's got to bring it consistently.
Ken is right about that right guard. He's allowed, I think, the most pressures in all of football with 14.
Well, good.
So,
and the other thing is, look, I went back and rewatched a lot of that game on Sunday with the pause, and I kept, you know, kind of clicking back like the old coach's clicker back.
Look at
in the
you
day.
Pulling a Madden.
Well, I was trying to see with these backup offensive linemen how they did that.
Yeah.
And it was so impressive. And, John, you would really probably appreciate this. Like, the Saquon Barkley touchdown that won the game and then the two-point conversion, which was – it was the exact same play. And the way those backup offensive linemen were able to execute those duo combo blocks up
front. That's great.
It's really, really impressive.
Well, credit to them and credit to Stoutland. That's good work. And a little bit of Howie mixed in for finding these guys. Ken, give me an answer. I mean, maybe more than a little bit of credit to Howie. Ken, a character from a sequel. What do you got?
Well, I already won the ticket, so I'm going to go a little deeper here. I'm going Hudson from Aliens.
You got it.
Dude, that's
Ken.
A great answer. It's Bill Paxton in Aliens. He's great in that movie.
Fair enough. All right, wonderful to be with you on this Friday morning, a football Friday, and a try to get home field advantage entering the weekend Friday for the Phils. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With it being tailgate season in Armin Chevy, you can check out their incredible lineup of SUVs, ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First question, who wins Sunday? Will it be the Eagles or Bucks? Last week when we asked this question, more people said the Saints than the Eagles. So we'll see where it goes after the Eagles won that game. And the Bucks lost last week. Both teams coming in 2-1 now. The other poll question today, who would you rather see miss the playoffs, the Braves or the Mets? fascinating scenario where they're going to play a doubleheader on Monday. Of course, there's games prior to that where they face other teams. But who would you rather see miss the playoffs, the Braves or the Mets? Dombrowski today with us at 9:30. Both Bathtub Time Machine and Drop of the Week coming up this segment. Seltzer, quick question for you. This is one of those in the last 20 or 30 minutes where I feel bad about Pete the Hammer.
Oh, no.
No, I do. I do, honestly. Because, like, you know how sometimes you'll hear an athlete say, you know, like, I got to bring it because there might be some kid out there that never saw me play before.
Sure, yeah.
And that's pretty much true for every game. Like, every
is that DiMaggio originally, right?
I don't know who said it first, but a lot of people have said it. And I sometimes think afterwards, I mean, obviously I brought the greatness, there's no question. But I also brought a lot that might make people think I'm a jerk. If
a little haughty hammer today.
So, like, do I need to dial that back?
Little haughty hammer.
I mean, a lot of haughty. You're right.
Yeah, you need to dial it back.
But isn't that kind
of... You were disruptive of the entire casino.
I think it's okay.
Devin, is it appropriate?
I mean,
or
someone
is
needs to beat you.
I was embarrassed.
You know?
I don't know why you're having this conflict now, because you kind of... do it.
But this was
week.
A big one. This
I
was
mean,
a, I mean, it was Roman
you've
Empire.
You've hung up on contestants before. Yeah. Like, all things considered, it's kind of the norm. So, you know, I wouldn't feel too bad.
It's how many people looked
what,
over
Joe?
Here. That startled
I
me.
Hate to say this. Okay. It was justified today because you crushed him.
Thank
he,
you.
Like
you.
But he also it was very, challenged Joe. Like, he
that's
brought
Devin's
it.
Point.
Well, yeah. Right.
To
like
Joe's
it,
doorstep.
If there ever was then, a time to be obnoxious, it yeah. was probably today. And it pains me to say that.
Yeah, it's
it
like
really
he
does.
Came. It's like he came to Joe's doorstep and rang the doorbell to run away, but then tripped and fell, and Joe caught him and then beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that guy knows his stuff. I mean, that's like pick. That's like Pickett's charge in Gettysburg. Like, that guy just...
Well, we're going to hear it again in, you know, 15 minutes.
God, Joe, I thought the same exact thing. I thought of Pickett's charge.
I'm the North, he's the South in the Civil
Joe,
War.
Joe, I will say this. It was what? On brand.
Well, I don't know to say thank you or I apologize. Maybe a little bit of both. Let's get to Keith in Northeast Philly. Hi, Keith.
Yo, Joe, don't feel sorry about celebrating. Okay. Let me just say this.
So the first time listeners, to the kids out there, maybe old enough now to listen, or the adults tuning in for the first time, it's a tongue in cheek.
I enjoy it. I do. I root for it. Okay. I'm being one of the last contestants that beat you, and I was the one that I'm the king of the call out. So when I called you out, you lost. And then
in March, yeah.
Okay.
These people think they have sports knowledge here. The last year, like, the over under on the contestants getting one right is a half.
Well, I'll tell you this, Keith. I think today does show a lot of these guys, I think, know sports, and they just get nervous and maybe out of sync if you miss a question and you start, you know, racking your brain with fear. Because I'm telling you, we know Ed in Phoenixville knows sports.
Oh, yeah,
we know.
Yeah, I listen a lot. Yeah.
And he got a goose egg. Yeah.
It does. Actually, the one time I did play, I did get a goose egg, but then I did beat you twice. So.
Okay, fair enough.
It happened.
Oh, I
it
like
happened.
That.
I'm not hating on that.
Hey,
but,
keep calling.
Yeah. No, I enjoy lot. Your celebrations, though. Like, I think in person, like, yeah, you know, you're not like that outside, but it's enjoyable, though, hearing your celebrations.
Thank you, Keith. You're a good man. Keith, give me a great answer. A character from a sequel.
Did anyone say the Joker?
Yes.
What about Yoda?
Yes, has been said. You get one more shot.
Oh, man, I'm going to strike out. What about the pigeon lady in Home Alone?
Oh, good answer. There you go. Home Alone too.
Pigeon lady in Home Alone. Frankly, I think the Emperor would have been a better answer.
Oh, I had someone on hold who had the Emperor.
Why would you do that?
Because he said with a pigeon lady.
Okay. He said two great answers first. He didn't know they were said.
But he could have said the Emperor in Star Wars, the fifth, if you will, the second, and instead he goes pigeon lady. Okay, that's why I said it. I'm making a point. And I think that's a reasonable point. By the way, 2 points from
baseball. I think that was much ruder to the audience than you celebrating
your
victories.
Yeah, I think it was flat out rude.
Hey, two points from baseball yesterday. You may know about, but to bring you up to speed if you don't. The Oakland A's played their, it appears, final game ever in Oakland.
Sad.
It's a travesty is what it is.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
They were one of the great teams in baseball in the 70s. They were one of the great teams in baseball in the late 80s and early 90s. They were one of the great teams in baseball, even though they didn't win a title.
They made a freaking movie about them.
They did. They're done. By the way, no one moves around like the A's.
To that city.
From Philadelphia. Hey, our A's. All right, what about us?
Yeah. Still the winningest team in the history of the city, Joe.
Yeah, they got 5 World Series. The Phillies have 2. The A's haven't played in 70 years.
My granddad was an A's. Philadelphia.
So was mine. Yeah. Rhea, My pop loved the A's.
Well, they won. The A's would win and the Phillies would lose.
I bought like a replica, I don't know what, 1929, whenever they won, like A's jersey. Yeah. When I showed up at his house, he thought it was
Al Foot in the Bucket Simmons was a hero growing
and
up.
Jimmy Fox. All right. The other thing, the White Sox won yesterday. So they have not yet clinched the worst record in modern baseball history. They're stuck on 120.
They can try again this weekend.
They got a
right?
three-game winning streak. They need to take it to a six-game winning streak to avoid passing the Mets for the worst record in modern baseball history. All right, as we get ready for the Eagles and Bucks, and James, like I told you, man, I was not going to do Eagles-Bucks history. Can't do it. I mean, by the way, after the Eagles beat them twice in the postseason in the early 2000s, meaning 2000 and 2001, they've now lost three straight playoff games to them, 0-2, 21, 23. Can't go back.
Well, Joe,
that.
You know what's funny
is
to Ed's point. Ed did the whole like, oh, I studied for Eagles Bucks. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that I didn't do Eagles Bucks trivia. I didn't want to go down that road either for Beat the Hammer. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, because of Bathtub Time Machine. Yep. All right. Well, let's do a little as we do. Slink into the tub together. Little Bathtub Time Machine. It is. All right, so today we look at, you know, if I'm not doing Eagles Bucks, what am I doing? I thought, well, what can we do? Here's what we're going to do. When the Birds are 2-1 trying to get to 3-1, which is a good start. If you can get to 3-1, that's good. And I was very surprised looking back at the history. Guys, we all know the Eagles have been really good for most of the last 35, 40 years. I mean, they've made the playoffs a ton. Would it shock you? It shocked me to find out the Eagles have only been 2-1 two times in the last 11 seasons. They've only been 2-1 14 times in the last 40 seasons.
What?
With all those playoff appearances, shows you how many times they came back from like 1-2 and 0-2, and how many times they were 3-0. It's a weird thing. They haven't been 2-1 as much as you would expect. Mm-hmm. With that said, we look at the 2-1 history, the Birds going for 3-1. Bathtub Time Machine, now look. There's always some bad. I mean, there's always some examples where it doesn't work out, like in 2010. 2-1 Eagles against who? Donovan McNabb. McNabb did not play great, but Michael Vick got hurt. McNabb played well enough. Washington, despite McNabb getting, as he deserved, a great ovation as he walked onto the field. Donovan McNabb beat the Eagles, knocked them to 2-2. And then after the game in 2010, as a Washington player in the locker room, McNabb said this. Uh-oh. Fighting words from McNabb. You know, that was a tough loss. So, too, was in 2018. John, you were there. I was there. James, you were there. Eagles, Titans.
Oh, the 4th and 15.
Gross. This was gross.
Oh, no.
So, Carson had just come back. The Eagles win week 3 to get to 2-1. We're all feeling like, come on. They're not going to lose to the Titans. This is a Super Bowl defending champion team, right? And somehow, some way, they just spit it up in the end, as James pointed out.
Sticks.
4th and 15, and the ball floated over the head of Corey Graham. And ultimately, and you don't see this that often, because you might not remember, the Eagles actually kicked a field goal in overtime. But the other team gets the ball. And it was one of those walk-off overtime TDs.
Corey Davis.
Walking out of that stadium. Oh. Remember walking out, like, just down?
Across that bridge, remember? Oh, it was horrible.
Felt dirty. No, I did.
But it's almost like they didn't expect it either. Like they were as shocked as we were that the Titans pulled it out. Like they didn't. They couldn't even talk trash.
They weren't ready to talk trash. I know,
because it was such a surprising result.
It was, but it was also a sign of like, I don't think our team's as good as we thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they muddled their way to 9-7. Now, they made the playoffs, but that was an example of, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. Look, there are some bad examples when you're going for 3-1. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are some good examples. There are some great examples. Because when the Birds have been 2-1, they have played some games that are very memorable for various reasons. Such as in 1994. Now, this season eventually went totally off the rails. But clearly the highlight of that season, I mean clearly, was when the Eagles beat one of the great teams of all time, the 1994 49ers, 40-8. 40-8.
The 48ers.
That's right. And what was this game known as? And will always be known as the Charlie Garner game. He had never played for the Eagles, ever. He was a rookie. He had missed the start of the year. They unleash him in game four, and he ran wild. A touchdown in the first quarter, and then another touchdown in the first quarter. One of the great debuts ever in Philadelphia sports history.
He was
unbelievable.
He was so slashy.
Yeah, he was. You know, like
that concept you hear about, he was a slasher, that running back.
Yep.
Charlie Garner, I got to block for him for, a long time.
Yeah.
And it was out in Oakland. He was the definition of slasher. That's the way it looked. That's the way it worked.
I remember
and
that.
It always worked, man.
He was great.
He was a tough player.
Sure
man.
Was.
A so, nasty little tough player yeah. who always got the job done.
That day, only 16 carries, but 111 yards, two touchdowns, an amazing performance. Talking about amazing performances, let's go up to the early 2000s. 2002. Now, this game is not memorable for much otherwise. The Eagles beat Houston and thumped them 35-17 on their way to 3-1. But it's memorable for one thing. One of the all-time great football games any player has ever played, courtesy of Brian Dawkins, who that day made his typical assortment of all sorts of tackles on defense. I looked it up. It was six tackles for Dawk. But what made it really memorable? First player in NFL history in the same game, an interception, a fumble recovery, and I got to hear it, yes, Brian Dawkins with a touchdown catch. It was one of those shovel passes, so it technically counts as a reception and a TD reception, and it was nuts. I mean, in the same game, a touchdown catch, a fumble recovery, and an interception that he returned 27 yards. It was amazing by Dawk that day. All right, let's move it up to 2017. This one is also very memorable. 2-1, we're trying to figure out, what do we got? So the Eagles were awesome week one versus Washington, lose week two in Kansas City, barely beat the Giants with Jake Elliott makes the 61-yarder week three. So we're and what was the mantra going into that game from all of us? Run the ball. Run the ball.
That never happens in Philly.
No. And Doug Peterson heard us and did it to the tune of 214 yards on the ground. Look, Phillip Rivers got his team down with 6.5 minutes left. They scored a touchdown to make it 26-24. What ensued was one of the great drives that decade by the Eagles. The drive only ended because the clock ran out. Eagles didn't even need to score. LeGarrette Blount. Seltzer, I got to hear it. LeGarrette Blount. That was so great, man.
That was so awesome,
it really
man.
It was.
That was another level
it was.
For Merrill. For Merrill.
He was
Merrill,
really excited.
Wow. That was great.
And remember, at that point, Merrill never caught a Super Bowl victory. You know, like, we were all dying for one. And then you see LeGarrette Blount do that. And what did I say after the game? John, you were right. He is special. After I doubted you in the offseason, he brought it, man. LeGarrette Blount was
man.
A boss. And with that, as the Eagles again this weekend, at 2-1, and as I said, doesn't happen often. Only 14 times in 40 years, only two times in the last 11 years. The 2-1 Birds with the quest for 3-1. It happens Sunday. The Eagles, the Bucs, praise the Lord, a Sunday game at 1 o'clock. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And that was a trip inside the bathtub time machine. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Talk to Drew in Westchester. Hi, Drew.
Good morning, folks. Joe, I wasn't going to do this had you lost, but I feel like I need to bring you down to earth a little bit.
No, I'm down. Good. I feel bad. I'm already down.
No, I don't think you feel bad enough. No, you don't have to feel bad about your celebration. What I was going to say, I thought that was fine. What I was going to say is I play in a couple real intense fantasy baseball leagues. I'm trying to win a couple championships these final couple days.
Wow.
Do you want to, like, consult with me? I know that's a big strength of yours. Do you want to help manage the team the final couple
days?
No,
you want me to stay away. Drew, here's what I don't know, who the Angels shortstop is. Here's what I don't care about, who the Angels shortstop is. If the Phillies face him in a World Series some year, then I'll know that guy. I keep it simple, man.
There you go. Well, I'll just say, look, you can tell me if I'm scared, get a dog. I want nothing to do with the Diamondbacks in the playoffs again. I'd much rather face, like, the Mets or the Braves if I have to choose. I think one thing that's interesting to me about the Phils, and, look, I'm really excited about them. I can't wait for next Saturday. They don't have a great road record. They're only two games over 500.
That's not bad, though. I mean, Drew, it's not great, but a lot of good teams will have a 500 record on the road. That's not unusual.
It's low. I hear you. It's lower than some of the other playoff teams. So basically what I'm saying is, like, if we played the Diamondbacks and you somehow dropped one of the first two where it's 1-1 going to Arizona, I'd be scared out of my shoes. So I don't want anything to do with them.
Don't be scared, Drew.
No, I agree with Drew. They're probably the last team out of all the options that I want the Phillies to face.
They're the boogeyman.
And it's not even just because of last season. Like, their offense is just even stronger this season than it was last year. And the Phillies don't seem to play well when they go out there.
Who's the last team to beat a Philadelphia team 2 years in a row in the postseason? Oh, maybe the Dodgers in the 70s?
Maybe
Sixers, Sixers, Boston, maybe? Did Boston
or
do
Sixers,
it?
Sixers, Bucks, maybe? Sixers and Bucks used to go back
what
and forth.
What about, did Boston do it recently? Like, the one, did
they
Boston have back-to-backs
though.
Or
that
no?
That was 18. I was
thinking of the Penguins, actually, like 15
years
ago.
Oh, that's a good call. It might be that, too.
Well, the Penguins beat them in 08. Anyway, who knows?
I'll just say with the Eagles, look, we can stress out about the wide receiver stuff. If I could only get one injured player back on Sunday, for me, hands down, it's Lane. You know, I definitely, you know, I've seen and Fred Johnson were good last week. I definitely appreciate Ken's breakdown. He's watched more tape than me this week. But, like, you know, like, Todd Bowles is the guy who, like, solved Mahomes in the Super Bowl a couple years ago because the Chiefs had those backup offensive linemen. So it'd be really scary to play the game without Lane.
Hey, Drew, give me a great answer. A character that's new in a sequel that's a great character.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going with Sirius Black in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Great answer.
We're getting really good answers today. This was an interesting question because there are a lot of quality answers. Speaking of answers, we're going to ultimately in the next couple minutes determine what's the winning answer for what's this week's drop of the week. I don't know which the winner is going to be. I know this, Seltzer. It was a great week of drops and stories and all sorts of stuff. Let's hit it with the drop of the week.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Shishesky. Shishesh V?
Of the week.
Hey, reminder, Dave Dombrowski joins the show coming up at 9:30 today. We'll do a deep dive as the Phillies get ready for the postseason, including stuff like Stott. Does he get at bats at second base versus left-handed starters? Rojas, Hayes, and Marsh. How do you figure out center and left field between those three players? I mean, I don't think anyone feels great about any of them, frankly, in certain circumstances, like Marsh against lefties. So what do you do there? Dombrowski, 9:30 today. We look forward to that. Drop of the week right now brought to us by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them online at familyjewelers.com or on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. So what do we got this week?
Let's dive in, starting with Seth Joyner. We started the week with Seth. Funny line about how he was feeling about the Eagles heading into the Saints game. It is a great line.
That's good work.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Speaking of great, sometimes we have a caller, and it's usually OG Wade, who just goes way, over the top with Jalen Hurts. Joe, great job what you did here. Here's how it played out. Strong, dude. I think every listener out there appreciates it.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, it has some objectivity, man.
But you have to put out there.
No,
that
was absurd.
Warned him going.
I cut that part out for timing.
But he had already said that. You know, I'm like, come on, man. But anyway, yes, that's ridiculous.
All right, let's keep it rolling. We have a few pretty hilarious long form 30 seconds or so piece of audio. Here is the tadpoles thing.
No clue.
Well, that was just the first of multiple pieces of audio in a row of you sounding ridiculous. Because it happened with frogs then, too.
Look, I don't feel bad about
Joe,
that.
Joe, science.
You should feel really, really bad about
science
it.
Science undefeated.
As I said, I've never been under a frog.
You should
I've
be incredibly embarrassed about it.
Just picture a frog in your head.
I never looked up a frog.
You don't have to look up a frog.
What about Kermit the frog? Does he have two or four legs?
I know they can leap and all, but so can a kangaroo. Kangaroos get two legs.
Okay, just let's not.
Right?
Hold on. Just picture the frog in your head.
Yeah, it's a squatty little thing.
Okay.
It's like a defensive lineman that's short and squatty.
It's got a head, right?
No, I don't know.
And then it's got a body.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then what else?
Legs.
Did you not ever play with a frog as a kid?
No, I would never
clearly
touch
not.
How many are on that frog?
Joe's an inside man.
I have.
How many legs are on that frog?
The great indoorsman is the
exactly right, yes.
I mean, apparently four. I didn't know.
All right, let's keep it rolling because guess what? There's more. Shockingly, Joe did know what the primary colors were. Couldn't get past that. Here's what happened.
Look.
What?
I'm not good
Thank
at
you, Devin. What?
Did you just blank out or something?
I got a little nervous.
Why were you nervous? Why would you be nervous in that situation?
I didn't know off the top of my head, and then I had to start figuring it out, and then I felt a lot of pressure. And then I took a guess and I was wrong.
You didn't do a lot of coloring as a kid either, besides not looking at frogs?
I know I used to know that one.
How do you make
it? Just stop and think, is green more blue or is it more orange? Let me think about this.
Joe,
or
how
is
do you
it
make,
yellow?
How do you make
red?
Purple?
How do you make purple? Well, that would definitely be red and, so it's either going to be green or yellow.
No.
How do you
what?
Make,
no.
Hold on, guys. Just let him answer it.
Well, apparently
how do you
I'm
make purple?
Wrong.
Well, you already...
I guess I'm already wrong.
Well, you forgot what the primary colors are already?
No, just what are the colors?
Red, blue, and yellow. No, wait, hold on. Wait, the three primary colors are red,
Joe, the question
red, yellow, and
how
blue.
How do you make purple?
I don't know. My answer is I don't know. Alex Trebek, I don't know. That's my answer.
Let's move on because, believe it or not, we have one more of Joe just being... obtuse, I guess. Ironically, featuring.
I thought obtuse is when you're intentionally.
Maybe.
I don't know these things.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, this one, ironically, features Ed in Phoenixville asking for a fictional royalty. And this is what happened. This was a week for you, buddy.
It was. Not good. Not good.
All right, let's keep it rolling. A little taste. Conklin, a funny bit about Nick Sirianni making real-life decisions. Here's a little taste. Great stuff from Conklin.
It really is.
Which is, we also, by the way, got a very quick Sirianni impression from our guy Richie. Not too bad, actually. If we're being honest, not
solid.
Bad.
Very solid.
All right, a few more. Bernie Perron.
Can I just say something,
yes,
James?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, Dave Dombrowski is going to be on the show in 40 minutes. If he was listening right now, he'd probably be like, what am I stepping into?
I think it would be hard for him to take your question seriously after the primary colors thing. All right, let's keep it rolling. Bernie Perron, surprise call into the show.
This was cool.
This was cool. Joe, you told him this story that is a wild story, and his reaction was priceless. Here's the interaction. It really is amazing. Like, it is an unbelievable story.
It's crazy. I mean, it's... Could you imagine if the puck went in?
No.
Unbelievable. No. No. All right. Let's keep it rolling.
There's probably like a 50-50 shot. You'll block it because you got... You
yeah,
know,
you're
the
just standing there. Exactly.
And...
Someone will yell at
but
the last second, Bernie!
But I will say this. The pads, you know, they don't go down to the ice.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. They're not like they are.
Would he have to drop to his knees at the last second?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't see it, it might just scoot right on through.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Yeah. I'm going to have to edit a few on the fly because we don't have time. But let's keep rolling. When Jason Kelce curses on the radio, it will always make it. Our second Jason Kelce curse of the year. I love it. Sorry. What the heck to do with
it? He recognizes it immediately. I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever.
So well, good. He is in a tough spot because you do the podcast, you can curse crazy. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you do regular radio, you can't. So it's a little, you know, I get it.
Thank goodness for the dump button. We'll just say that. Yeah, all right, a few more. Joe, you had a really funny line about Prince Akeem winning a poll. Really good stuff.
Thank you.
All right. One more prior today, and then we'll get to the celebration. But, Joe, I don't know if you know this or not. This did not happen on our show, but I felt like I had to bring it to drop of the week because to let everyone know, Joe, I don't know if you know this or not, but you've been banned from the afternoon show. Here's what happened.
Banned?
Oh no!
Because I'm honored, though.
What do you do?
Thanks for not banning.
Well, so this is from those who missed it yesterday. Joe did this whole rant about the name's too long. Fritz should be off the title of the show. It's Spike and Ike. Ike and Spike, whatever.
Spike, Ike, and Fritz.
And this is their response.
Well, but let me just say, James. So I there's something really, really ironic, don't you think? A little too ironic. Yeah, I really do think. Lines more sense style.
Wow.
So I noticed a poll yesterday.
Yes, they did
Twitter.
Run a poll.
Those guys had a poll yesterday about what's the best show on WIP.
Sure did, yeah.
Now, I don't know what won. Whatever.
What do you think won?
I'm sure on their show. Their
a poll
show
from the afternoon show.
I would be shocked. But here's the irony. You ready for the irony? I didn't know the results or anything. Here's what I know. They put up the poll. You know what they called their show in the poll? the afternoon show.
That's pretty hilarious.
That was my whole point. Yeah. Play this audio today, afternoon show. My whole point was your name's too long. Then you guys put up a poll. You call yourselves the afternoon show. Score one for the hammer.
Hold on.
My whole point.
Aren't you banned, so you're not even allowed to be talking
that's their
Isn't
choice.
Isn't that the point of you've been banned?
No, I don't know. I think he's just not allowed on their show. Nothing but
love. Nothing but love.
I don't think that's true.
But I found it very ironic that the whole issue came to a poll that they called themselves the afternoon show.
It's pretty funny. All right, two more really quickly. We're going to get to your celebration, but Kevin in Brookhaven, just a hilarious way to start his call today.
That's good.
So good.
Hey!
Really good.
All right, the note that will live on forever.
Yeah, right? All right, last one, Joe. Yeah, you felt bad about it, but it happened. You really went for it with the celebration today.
Was that your face hitting the microphone?
Is
that?
Dude, the end is so good. Yeah, I heard it.
You go into a state,
dude, the
Joe.
The end is
that's
so good.
Bizarre.
It is a little
when you win like that.
I kick ass. That's really funny. Man.
All right, so that tadpole frog legs.
Yeah, you were on fire this week. A hell of a week from Nick Cameron.
Is it tadpole, John?
I think it's got to be that or frog.
Must be tadpole.
Devin.
It's got to be tadpole.
Rhea?
Yeah, I'll go with tadpole.
Okay, tadpole it is.
Joe versus science will always win, in my book.
Fair enough.
I might start calling you Tad.
All right. Yeah.
Well. What? Add it to the nickname list.
All right, let me ask a trivia question. Who is named Tad is prominent in Philadelphia
Tad
sports?
Tad the camera. Is
prominent
good?
In Philadelphia wow. sports, but not well known.
Tad.
It's the Sixers guy, right?
Sixers president is Tad Brown.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
Now you're Tad the camera. I think Tad it's got camera. A ring.
Well, I like it. But I'll
Why?
I'll be the tadpole. What do I care?
All right, Tad.
Tadpole the camera.